From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Miracle on South Division Street is a new heartfelt and hilarious family comedy coming to Florida Repertory Theater next week. It's the fourth in a line of plays from Tom Dudzik performed on the Fort Myers stage. We'll meet the playwright and artistic director Bob Cassiopo today to find out what makes him so prolific and one of few playwrights able to make a living at it. Audiences will also be able to meet him as he spends opening weekend in town. Plus, our studios fill with the sounds of old-time Dixieland jazz as members of the Gulf Coast Banjo Society join us to perform live. Besides regular performances in Southwest Florida, the group hosts next month's fourth annual Punta Gorda Banjo Bash to benefit the nonprofit Young Musicians Education Foundation. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm John Davis. The sweet sounds of old-time Dixieland jazz fill our studios this morning as we hear from members of the Gulf Coast Banjo Society. This group of dedicated banjo players is more than 50 members strong. They'll be hosting the fourth annual Punta Gorda Banjo Bash next month at the Charlotte Harbor Event and Conference Center. The two-day music event benefits the nonprofit Young Musicians Education Foundation, providing instruments and lessons to kids who otherwise wouldn't get the chance to explore and foster a love of playing music. That's later in the show. But first, back in the 1950s in Buffalo, playwright Tom Dudzik remembers a 20-foot-tall shrine to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He says legend has it the Blessed Mother was there to spread world peace, but the nuns at his church told him, never mind that statue. Today, urban blight has taken nearly everything away from his hometown except, you guessed it, the shrine that has now become fodder for Dudzik's newest play, Miracle on South Division Street. This nationally acclaimed playwright spent an early part of his career writing for dinner theaters in Buffalo and has since made it to New York City with shows like Greetings, now appearing at theaters nationwide as an alternative to A Christmas Carol. Florida Repertory Theater in Fort Myers has performed three of Dudzik's shows and next week brings Miracle on South Division Street to the Arcade Theater. The show runs February 8th through March 2nd at the Florida Rep in downtown Fort Myers. Dudzik holds a talk back with the cast after a matinee performance on Sunday, February 9th. Playwright Tom Dudzik joins us now to discuss the process and the play. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here. Feels so warm on the phone.
Oh, yes. And we're also joined by Florida Rep's producing artistic director, Bob Cassiopo. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live, Bob.
Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure to be back.
And you can join our conversation. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And Tom, what's the Cliff Notes story of Miracle on South Division Street? Tell us just a bit about the plot.
Well, let's see. As you so nicely stated, it takes place in my old neighborhood. And that statue that you talked about is still there. And the shrine is about 20 feet tall. The statue itself is life-size. And if it's of the Blessed Mother. Although it doesn't look like the traditional Blessed Mother that we've come to know. It looks like a girl on her way to the prom. She's got shoulder-length hair all nicely curved under, and this sort of mid-calf dress. And it's very odd, but the barber in 1950 said, this is what she looked like. This is what the Blessed Mother appeared as, and he had the statue built and the shrine constructed, and there it sits. So we grew up as little kids. But when you're a little Catholic and you see a statue, it's sort of rote. You just genuflect in front of it. You kneel in front of it and say a prayer. So we would do this, and then we'd go to this back to school and tell the nuns, hey, we just said a prayer in front of that, you know, the barber's statue, the Blessed Mother, and they would reprimand us gently. No, don't do that. No, he did not have a miracle. He had a dream, that's all. He's a very nice man, but, you know, the Catholic Church was not going to sanction this hokey miracle. But we believed it, and like you said, it's still there. And I did some research on the barber who constructed it and had the miracle happen. And lovely family, they're all moved out now. But the story itself just wasn't that interesting. It's exactly what I said. It's a man who had a vision in his barber shop and built the statue. So and that was it. And it just stood there. So there wasn't much drama other than that going on. So I created a story based on what I've just told you. I now have this family that lives in the former barbershop. It used to be a barbershop. Now it's a soup kitchen. And there's Clara. She's the mom. She's the daughter of the barber. She's fictional. But the whole family's fictional. And then there's her grown kids. And it all takes place in Clara's kitchen. And the statue is out the window. And what happens is the youngest daughter, she has a theatrical bent. She decides that she's going to write a one-woman show based on Grandpa having the miracle, having the vision, building the statue, the whole thing. She's going to, and she finds a director who wants to do it, and even a producer. And then things start to unravel, and that's where I'll clam up, and I won't tell you, I won't give away any of the sure. fun secrets of the play.
Well, we wouldn't want you to do that, yeah.
yeah.
Well, looking beyond Miracle on South Division Street, most, if not all, of your plays are religious in theme. Why is that?
Boy, you got me. I guess it's the indoctrination growing up. It's so infused in you by your teachers that it just stayed with me. Now, I left Catholicism when I was in college. It didn't work for me anymore. It didn't make sense to me. But the teachings just stayed with me, and I don't mean any irreverence. I had such fun telling all my WASPy friends about and my newly acquired Jewish friends in college. I didn't know what a Jew was when I was growing up. But when I went away to college, I met some. and married one. And I had such fun telling them these stories about growing up Catholic that it was just sort of a natural progression. They turned into plays, or these themes ended up in my plays.
And how do you deal with faith in your plays?
I just let the people who hold these beliefs, who still hold them, speak from the heart, and they come up against life, and it's the things that life throws at them, and they see how they can use their faith to hold their own and to keep it going, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, stepping back in time a little bit, you got your start doing dinner theater on a riverboat in Buffalo. I was hoping you could tell us about that.
Yeah, you did good research. Yeah, I there was this old Mississippi paddle wheeler on the right there in the Niagara River in Buffalo, and this man bought it. His name was Bob Samazi, and he had a brother, John. This brother, I made friends with this brother back at college, about 60 miles away. I had no idea there was this boat up in Buffalo waiting for me. I was still in college, and I made friends with this man, John. He owned a tavern in my college town of Fredonia, New York. And I did cartoons for his... I did a weekly cartoon that appeared in the newspaper advertising his tavern. I got $5 per cartoon plus all the beer and pizza I could consume. That was my pay. I thought I was going to be a cartoonist. Playwriting never entered my mind. That's what I thought. I was just in college to escape the army and to practice cartooning because that's what I was going to be when I got out. And, well, I graduated college, and he came to me, John did. He said, my brother bought a showboat. It's in Buffalo. He wants me to do dinner theater. I have no idea how to do dinner theater. I know you play piano. Can you write songs? Can you help me? We'll pay you. And it was that simple. I said, well, I'm in a ketchup factory right now. Let me think. What's better, doing the ketchup factory or a dinner theater, being in a show, writing a show in nightly? So it was academic. It was. I think that would be a more fun job. So I packed up and moved to Buffalo. That was my hometown, Buffalo. So it was no chore going back home, no hardship. But I got an apartment and started collaborating with this guy, John Samazi, and we wrote a musical comedy, the silliest thing, slapstick. We involvement with the audience. We performed the story in the middle of the dining room. It wasn't off to one side where most dinner theaters, you go and you have your dinner, then the lights come down, you're served your last cocktail, and the show begins. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that at all. From start to finish, the audience was part of the show. When they walked into the room, they were in a different location. They were in a bordello. That's what they walked into. They went back in time. They walked into a bordello in the 1880s, and I was the piano player, and the waitresses were the dance hall girls. And they were in the fishnet stockings, the period costumes, and then when they were served their main course, or the first course, the show began. And then I stood up, and I was part of the show, and there was a four-member cast, and that went on for 6 years. Not that show. We wrote more shows, and then we developed. This guy, John Samazi, was a real businessman, and he acquired four restaurants, didn't buy them. I mean, he made arrangements with the restaurant managers. You know, you see that empty dining room? Boom, we're going to put a show in there. It'll be filled every night. And we did. We formed our own little production company, and that was my start doing dinner theater. Every night I did that for 6 years. Hmm. We had Monday night off. Monday night was off. I got to watch TV on Monday night.
We're talking with playwright Tom Dudzik, author of the upcoming show at Florida Repertory Theater, Miracle on South Division Street, along with Florida Rep's artistic director, Bob Cassiopo. Our phone number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Post your comments or questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And, Bob, how many of Tom's plays has Florida Rep done before?
Well, you know, this will be our fourth Tom Dudzik play. about 10 years ago, we did his Over the Tavern, which is a play, I think, Tom, right? About 200 different productions have been produced of that play?
Yes, I'm happy to say.
And that was a sort of semi-autobiographical, you know, about Tom growing up and absolutely, our audiences in Fort Myers in Southwest Florida just somehow link to Tom's plays. There's a pipeline from Tom's plays right to their hearts because a lot. In my view, Fort Myers is a real sort of bread and butter, working class, Midwestern sort of folk. And they relate to the morals of his plays. They relate to the sense of family and that family comes first. They relate to struggle. They relate to that it wasn't, you know, this wasn't a rich family, but, you know, these are poor families. And, you know, so besides Tom being incredibly funny man and an incredibly funny writer, what really appeals to me is the heart in his plays. And then after doing Over the Tavern, which was a huge hit for us, a few years later we did a play called Greetings, which I believe was his sort of first big off-Broadway hit with Davin McGavin was in it. And again, a very, very big hit and one our audience is really related to. And then Over the Tavern is part of a trilogy. And then we did the sequel to that maybe 2 years ago called King of the Moon, where we see many of the characters in Over the Tavern, but 10 years later. Over the Tavern takes place in 1959. This play takes place in 1969. And now this play, Miracle on South Division Street, which I may say, is my favorite of all his plays.
Get out of here, really? That's great.
I Jerry Zaks, the director, said, I heard about 10 years ago, he has a barometer for choosing a play and choosing a comedy. He says when he reads it, if he laughs out loud all by himself, he does. And I think it's a fantastic barometer. But the thing is, when I read Miracle on South Vision Street, I also, like, wept multiple times at, particularly about, in my mind, you could think it's about the daughter, Ruth, who has written a one-woman show and is looking for her mother and her sibling's permission to do it. But really, a lot of the play happens to this mother. And like Tom, I don't want to give it away, but finding out information that really sort of rocks a world, and I found it, I guess maybe because even though I'm a little younger than Tom, I so relate to the world, and I'm Italian. I started off, as well Catholic, but I so relate to these characters. I so relate to a family that struggles, but are very, very tight. So it's really... I'm right in the middle of the rehearsal process, and also another good sign about rehearsals is that, A, I can't wait to get to rehearsals. B, when we have 10-minute breaks, I still want to hang around and talk about the play. And C, we are really laughing from beginning to an end. I mean, all of us in the play, I mean, Florida represents an ensemble company, and four of the actors in the play have worked repeatedly together and with me. Two of them had worked repeatedly in other Tom Dudzik plays. So it's absolutely a joy. And again, to go into a world that I so relate to, but more importantly, the Southwest Florida audiences so relate to. I think anyone listening is in for a real treat to discover this new play, Miracle on South Division Street.
Bob, are you and the cast members perhaps nervous about having Tom, the playwright, being in the audience on opening night?
You know what? The absolute opposite. I can't, because I am so excited about working on it, so excited about what each of them are going to bring to it and what I'm bringing to it, feeling such a connection with his other works and especially with this work, I really can't wait for Tom to see it.
I can't wait either.
All you can do as a director and actor is lend yourself and your own experiences to the material, and I'm just very, very excited. I'm very excited about my audiences seeing it. I'm very excited about Tom seeing it. It's turning out to be a very sort of special experience, and usually you can tell that very early, even at the very first read-through. I usually know whether something is going to be extra special, and you felt that energy in the room.
Tom, is it rare for you to participate so much with the cast and a creative team of one of your plays?
Yeah, but I haven't, except for a few phone calls and emails. I haven't participated really. I'm going to be, a lot of it's going to be a surprise. I keep hearing about the rehearsals, how they're enjoying it and laughing, and it's got me so excited. So, and I love a talk back with the audience. So, I was delighted that they asked me to come down to see that. I had the most curious experience the other night off Broadway. I went to see the evening of one act plays, and they had a talk back, and the authors were up there of these plays, and they wouldn't answer any questions. They wouldn't. I asked a question. I said, why did the man not reveal that he was the father of the, and he waved his hands in front of his face, meaning I can't answer that. And I asked the moderator, what's going on? She said, oh, no, our authors don't answer any questions.
Maybe you...
Well, what the heck?
It was a talk, too.
So I will be answering questions at your talkback. Okay, make that clear to everyone. They can ask whatever they want.
All right, there will be questions.
And also, Tom and I and two of the actors, we were all got together in Tom's favorite diner in New York City. So we did have a little chance to have some face-to-face time. And because my wife, who's actually playing the mother, Clara, in the play, her family's from Buffalo. So this summer, in that area, so this summer we took a trip to Buffalo and we visited the shrine. And I took film of the shrine. You're there, you know, with the mail slot and just as he described the statue and the neighborhood being very isolated and a lot of houses knocked down. Seemed to be a lot of, you know, it's no longer, you know, as the characters and the mothers and the children remember, it was no longer a vibrant family neighborhood, but one of urban blight, and seemed to be a lot of awning factories. And it's funny, you know, characters that commit and love a community so much, because my wife has an uncle that lives in Buffalo. He's 93, and he lives in the house he was born in. And everyone is trying to convince him to leave this house because it's now in the most horrible neighborhood, and drug houses and crack houses and robberies and all this going on. But it's funny when a person just feels, this is where I was born. This is my neighborhood. I have memories of this, and feels a real sort of connection to a neighborhood. So that's one of the fun things going on in the play as well.
Yeah.
And Tom, I know your name was once a question on Jeopardy. Actually, it was probably an answer. What was the question?
The question on Jeopardy. Well, first of all, I was a Daily Double.
Very
proud of that distinction. The category was literary trilogies, and so they went down and there was a question. Bing, ding, ding, ding. Daily Double. Okay, and it was in Tom Dudzik's Over the Tavern trilogy. Part three takes place during the Blizzard of '77 in what city? And the guy says, what is Buffalo? You are right.
So, all right.
Yeah. That was quite an exciting moment. We've got that on tape, as you can imagine. We were there, ready with the tape recorder.
And I know the Florida Rep has performed, I don't think the entire trilogy, but at least a portion or portions of it. That is, unfortunately, all the time we have for this morning's discussion. The time goes fast, but thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you. Great.
Tom Dudzik is the nationally acclaimed playwright of Greetings, Over the Tavern, and King of the Moon. Sorry, he will be in attendance at the opening weekend of his new play at Miracle on South Division Street at Florida Repertory Theater in Fort Myers, running February 8th through March 2nd. He and the cast will hold a talkback for the audience after the February 9th matinee. And Bob Cassiopo is Florida Rep's producing artistic director. Information is online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. We're taking a short break, but when we return, members of the Gulf Coast Banjo Society join us ahead of next month's 4th annual Punta Gorda Banjo Bash. The 2-day event benefits the Young Musicians Education Foundation. We'll learn more about the organization and its members, along with live music selections of old-time Dixieland jazz the group is known for. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida. Stay with us.